Hey, hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 965. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end of this microphone is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Well, this feels a little wild. We have not doubled up on a show, I feel like, in a while. But our good buddy Jeremy Mays is feeling under the weather. So here we find ourselves doing a second show this week, and really just confined to NXT and AEW because there will not be any like repeat views of like let's say Raw that Jeremy usually brings up. So this one could be a short one because while I didn't really dislike anything about either show.
No. But I do have one question for you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Do you believe in Joe Hendry?
This thing is, I mean, I didn't ever listen to his song. Did you
I
ever
have
listen
never
to
seen,
this?
I have never heard it. I did not know that. Some point last year, it charted in the UK on Spotify or whatever.
I think it was earlier this year.
Okay, I was not aware of that. I've heard the name Joe Hendry. I have never seen him before. I've seen a picture, so I can't say I don't know what he looks like, but maybe I don't necessarily know what he looks like from the neck down. I can pretty well ignore a lot of TNA stuff, so I was not aware of all of what this man is about, and I still don't necessarily know everything this man is about, but here's the thing. Unlike most recent NXT debuts, I have not forgotten his name.
Oh my gosh. In a related subject to that, because it doesn't need to be talked about for a long time, in my opinion.
It's playing in your head right now, isn't it?
I'll get back to Joe Hendry just because I'm slightly more familiar with him. But I laughed when I was going to post a tweet about Carly Bright and whoever came down to the ring, and I still can't remember her name. I went to look them up on WWE.com.
Kendall something or Sky?
Kendall Gray.
Kendall Gray, okay, yes.
Yeah. They didn't have either of them up on even the subpage. Like, I went to NXT solely without, trying to save myself some searching. Neither Carly Bright nor Kendall Gray were on the page. I'm just like, ooh, man, I'm trying to make a joke here, and .com isn't even helping me out. I had to go back and listen to it, or I had to go back and watch the segment again because I couldn't remember her name. But anywho, Joe Hendry, I believe he was one of those guys that was in the dying days of Ring of Honor when it was still on Sinclair Broadcasting, I guess. Is that the way to go with the term? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Before TK bought them. I remember him from there, and I feel like he was establishing a similar gimmick to what he is running right now. About, I don't know, do you call him a pop artist? Twangy country? I'm not sure. Folk singer? Anywho, it's kind of a funny gimmick. It gets a laugh out of me. And the fact that he got himself charted is, UK or otherwise is a nice statement to make,
Like, so that it is him singing that song.
Yes. Yeah. He
okay.
arranged. I believe he writes the songs that he does, because he almost does something of an Elias gimmick, to equate it to the WWE,
Okay.
where he tailors the songs to his opponent. And because I forget what the because I think that was just more like a positive anthem that he was doing with the I Believe in Joe Hendry situation. But yeah, he does tend to bust out more of a verbal beatdown of his opponent with his singing. So.
I was unaware of all of this.
Yep.
And I can honestly say I still haven't seen the full effect of Joe Hendry because he was out of that battle royal within seconds. Which was a weird. Is that part of his thing too? Does he lose a lot? Like, what
Well,
was.
that's the part that I am gonna plead a little bit of ignorance, since I was watching him in those days. He was just starting out. Like, I feel like he's a much bigger deal in TNA right now than where he was at with ROH when I was watching him. So I don't know if that's a good good comparison, I suppose. Like, that's like 5 years or something. It's kind of a wild time period that I have not seen him in a ring. So yeah, I would imagine it's been tweaked. I don't know.
Yeah, it was just a weird call to have him out so quickly.
That part was pretty strange to me, where I just, yeah, I didn't quite get what they were doing with that. Like, it's not surprising, just because he was acting cocky, that he was gonna get tossed kind of early, but it was still a strange thing to do. So, but it kind of feels like he'll probably be back.
That's what we're saying. This is the beginning of something for him in NXT. He's gonna get a bit of a run in NXT.
So hey, that's not a terrible thing. Again, he has I feel like he probably has more experience than most of the people that are in NXT currently. So it feels like he might be a good guy to bring in to feud with some people. But yeah, it was him and Frankie Kazarian, of all people, made an appearance, which was not something I was expecting, I guess.
No, I was not expecting to see Kazarian on a WWE show in 2024. No. And again, did not know even had a vague idea he was still wrestling, and it might be back in TNA.
Yeah, I think I was somewhat aware of him still wrestling, but yeah, that's kind of a wild the fact that I believe Vic was the one that pointed out that Booker T shared a locker room with him, and I'm
No,
like,
I was the one who pointed it out. Or did Vic say something?
is something was definitely said on the broadcast.
Okay, something was said. Okay, and Booker obviously has no memory of this man.
So it was it was on there. So
Wow.
but yeah, I mean, that's how long. And then it was kind of wild that Kazarian was kind of the opposite. Like, if you would have seen Joe Hendry tossed it, like, with six people left, because I think because Kazarian didn't make the top four, did he? He got tossed sometime when he was in the top six, I believe. So, If Hendry would have gotten tossed around that time period, I'd be like, oh, okay, that makes for a good showing or whatever. But yeah, they used that for Frankie Kazarian for some reason or another. But I guess it really, the story of the night, I suppose, in NXT though, was that at least apparently after that battle royal was over, Javon Evans had won it. But then Alt Ego Ethan Page successfully talked himself. So Page goes to Ava there, and Javon Evans is being congratulated by her, but he successfully talks himself into the fact that he was never truly eliminated from the Battle Royal. I did not go back to look for evidence. Does he have an argument, or is this all a something that was made up?
It feels like he's got an argument. Was did he ever go over the top row?
I honestly was not paying enough attention when
Well, I guess I wasn't paying enough attention to what you were just saying, so touche. I think that he went to the back fighting with Uro Mensah and was not ever was never eliminated. So he had his point. He talked to his point and gotten his match with Javon Evans, which I guess we can fast forward since we're talking about this part of the show anyway. So he defeats Javon Evans with the after the outside interference of Sean Spears, and makes his claim for a championship match. But they never specifically said the title shot was on the line either. So officially, Javon Evans still has the match.
Because they just, I believe they worded it, he beat the number one contender.
Yes.
So, yeah, they did not say title match specifically.
No, but we can see it's becoming a fatal four-way. With also Sean Spears involved because, well, I mean, you can't have a PLE main event without Sean Spears.
It is a really weird mixture of people in that one.
It is a weird mixture, and they're really, really pushing Javon Evans fast and quick, and I don't know. I'm not a pick, haven't been hugely impressed so far. The only the biggest impression he's made on me is when he was in that when he was standing next to Ava in her office, I just kept thinking, I think she could break him in half.
His body type definitely screams that I believe he's 20.
Yeah, I think something like that, yeah.
That will change over time, but yeah, for sure right now he is definitely slight of frame.
Yeah, and
So
once again, we're in that thing where there's nothing super dynamic to give Trick right now. There just isn't.
No, there is not.
Super dynamic will never be words you describe Sean Spears.
No, in as much as I like Ethan Page, I mean he still needs some image rehab on kind of main TV
Yeah,
to
something of the
like
sort.
be back in that kind of a position, I feel like.
I mean, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but as time goes on, he's gonna feel less like an interloper and more like just another guy on the show. And Ethan Page is he's fine, even good, but there's a reason he's never been the main event anywhere. Even if even in a smaller company like AIW, that I don't remember them recall them, you know, putting him in their main title matches very often.
I believe he was one of their earlier champions.
Well, yeah, because he's an old, because he's already an older guy. He's already in his mid-30s. I mean, it's just
Again, like, wow, yeah. I guess there probably is a ceiling to what he ends up accomplishing in.
Yeah, there's definitely a ceiling. I mean, it's it's higher than Sean Spears for sure.
I Sean Spears, I think he knows he's back for training, and that alone, I don't think he's trying to bust into the main event of WrestleMania anytime soon. So yeah, not the sexiest title defense for Trick Williams here.
No. They've really got to figure something out with the, with this title run and just the main event scene with of NXT in general, because it's just it just doesn't it's just not popping. Like I don't necessarily know if Lea Dragunov was the most, you know, exciting champion who ever walked the face of this earth, but it definitely felt like he had more, and he had more to do and had more to work with than Trick Williams for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this one's definitely falling into the, to me, the Ronda Rousey category, where maybe part of it's on Trick.
I don't really think it is. I mean, this is the first time we're seeing Trick without Mello at all, without as a unit, without as an opponent.
No,
hell, we're seeing what Mello has without Trick by his side, and so far the answer is so far not much there either. And I said that I do think that Trick has more charisma and there's something there, but they're just giving him nothing to work with.
Well, yeah, that part is definitely true. Like, it's some tough going what he's trying to deal with at the current time. You know, he just Ethan Page is a good one-time opponent for him, is a surprise. Sean Spears is almost an afterthought. Like, he seems like one of, Spears is like kind of a necessary win, but also not, again, it's not really all that sexy to go back to that kind of term. So it's just like, yeah, there is not a lot of appeal to that one. And as much as I have liked Javon Evans, given his age, and I'm going to assume, you know, relative lack of experience, I like him a lot, but putting anyone with that level of experience in the title picture already, when, like, I just feel like they've done a pretty nice job in general in NXT of slowly breaking people in. Wow, they really strapped a rocket to this guy. So it just feels a little bit strange that that's the case. You know, even if I see the potential, it's still a little bit wild to me that that's what we're seeing. So, but yeah, I, you know, the beginning of the show and the end of the show really, really tied together. I do feel like, even though it started last week, that, at least the women's division is looking a little bit better for Roxanne Perez.
It is. The end segment of the previous week, had me worried that, yeah, you know, that was ending up some type of a multiple person schmoz again too, but no, we came out of NXT clearly with the idea that Lola Vice has got the next championship match coming, and you know what, it's probably the best pick right now. She got that big win at Battleground over Shayna Baszler. That should, beating a main roster person in their type of match should get you somewhere.
Oh, yeah. And I think it was Jeremy that pointed out that her merch is selling quite well.
I have no idea. I'll accept that. I don't really care to look.
I will say that I haven't seen a whole lot of talents posing with their merch, and I did see a picture of her with her shirt. And I'm not surprised, because I know this is what I said to Jeremy now that I confirmed that it was him. That she has that Miami Vice vibe going on, and I do think that it's a very marketable look. And I mean, obviously it's in her name, so it makes it a pretty no-brainer to go with that. So, yeah, Lola Vice, next woman up, even though I think they've done a pretty okay job. Like, and I think I've mentioned this in the past, where to me it's always better to have a heel on heel, because there's always should be some friction. They shouldn't trust each other. The face-on-face matchups are always a little bit harder to write, in my opinion.
I think at this point, Lola Vice has largely turned face.
People like the gimmick. I'm not sure that she's necessarily turned face. people just like that she is fine with shaking her ass after a victory.
Yeah, no, nothing wrong with that at all, no.
that was a pretty logical one. And I'm trying to think of other things off. Because, some of the other women were... because what was it? There was a four-way match. Like, I'm doing this off of the top of my head and not looking at the review here. We definitely had, didn't want to get to that yet. Because I wanted to get to the triple threat tag team match. That's what chewed up a lot of the women's time this week. Because it was Lash and Jakara taking on JC Jane and Jasmine Nix versus Roxanne and Lola to tie that stuff together. I guess this is one where, to me, Lash Legend had a trash first gimmick. It didn't work out. They decided to change gears. And she also seems to be improving in the ring. And I think that's great.
Yeah, definitely. Lash Legend has definitely improved in the ring, yes.
So, because I don't know if there was anything else really within that match that stood out to me. It seems weird to me almost to feature JC Jane as much as they do, but then to stuff her in a tag team. It's kind of weird. She gets Cody Rhodes mask and, does not get a whole lot of love. it is a little strange in my opinion. The other matchup for the ladies of the night, Kalani Jordan defended her North American championship against Mee Chin. The Good Brothers find themselves in all kinds of shenanigans in NXT here as of late. And I'm starting to go, hold on, does NXT actually have a half-decent tag division within the WWE?
It's good. It's fine, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's why I said half decent. I mean, it's pretty young as far as things go. So like, I'm not gonna get too wild yet, but
Not young though, the Good Brothers.
oh yeah, they are definitely not good, but also kind of in that category that you know, vets helping the young guys because who'd they end up oh, Frazier and Axiom, you know, that's a good match to have for them.
They already had it.
Well, yeah, I guess that's what I mean. Like, that's kind of a good style, and they have them work with both OTM and who else interacted with them this week? I feel like there's
This
another.
is where I could not tell you the OTM guys' names. I couldn't tell you anything about the other people that they interacted with. It may have been OTM both times. I'm not even sure.
Well, in that match, it was definitely them. Because oh
Oh God!
yeah,
What?
because
Who? Who
Jada
did they? Who?
Parker pushed Mee Chin off the top ropes
Yeah.
because OTM provided the distraction there. Because it wasn't Hank and Tank who were evidently a team again.
I have no idea who these men are.
Oh
I
man.
watch every week. I still don't have no idea who some of these people are.
Well, I mean, speaking of that, I guess while I try to find the answer, I did like the Izzy Dame I'm a badass volleyball player segment. Like, that helped inform me of who she was, at least, you know, give me a
Okay.
mentality. It's a nice start. So I did like that one as far as that that goes. Oh, that's right. The Good Brothers took on Chase U.
Oh yeah, it was Chase U. Oh my God, how did I forget Chase? It sounded like it was Chase U.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm an idiot here. So yeah, because I mean, it was an actual match. So I granted, I believe because Jeremy does talk about Chase, Andre Chase does have, you know, some indie experience under his belt. So I don't know how much, well, really, and even at this point, how much help does Ridge Holland need? Like, you're either rolling with it or you're not with Ridge at this point, right? Like, Big E has been out of action for years, plural, at this point.
It's been 2 years, yes.
So,
Over
like,
2 years, yes.
yeah, so Ridge was around at least in NXT for a year prior to that.
I think so.
So, I guess maybe he's not necessarily a vet, but and maybe not a, I guess maybe not quite a final product, but man, I would hope if you think you have something at this point, you would pull the trigger with Ridge. But yeah, maybe he still does need some training. Maybe he was a good person to have in there with, against the Good Brothers. But yeah, but yeah, Chase U, I guess, is a team. OTM, and I'm trying to think of who else. Oh well, I mean, Hank and Tank have kind of been around, but obviously on the shelf because of injury, partially. And I feel like there's another. Oh well, Axiom and Frazier are still a team, but then that was kind of wild in and of itself, where those two are fighting because Nathan Frazier keeps on going after singles championships on top of already having tag team gold.
It looks like there's trouble brewing there.
So yeah, that was kind of an interesting thing to have happen. Especially with I really enjoy Tony D'Angelo just helping to stir the pot. Our Italian compatriot always there to sow discord, and I appreciate it. Do do do. Oh, I guess speaking of the Chase U stuff, that was the continue work, the continued camera work of the WWE just amazes me. I love how they purposefully did not film what's his name there, Ridge Holland helping Duke Hudson get the pin. You could
Yeah.
tell by the look on Duke's face and by his reaction in the backstage segment. It's furthering along a story that is there, and I guess it'll be interesting to see how it ends up finally resolving.
Yeah.
So, but I think I'm trying to think. Yeah, that about does it for
Well, no. We do
nope.
have the, Jeremy's favorite, the locker room full of blondes with Fallon Henley.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I did like the fact that Sol Ruka was in there, and she's just like, "Nah, I'm out of here. Like, I don't need to put up with these shenanigans." It might have been my favorite part of the segment, but I do think that Fallon Henley continues to be a fairly good heel.
Yeah, she's coming along in that regard, and she's going to form an alliance with JC Jane and what's her name?
No, that's not Izzy Dame. Jasmine Nix.
Jasmine next. Yes, okay.
I am slowly starting to remember
They
those.
have to do something about this. I mean, there's some men too that whose names will escape me. The Native American dude, I never remember his name. There's probably a couple others. But it's with the women. It's an epidemic. Like, there are just so many of these women, and they don't make an impression on you at all. And it's just, and you don't remember their names.
Eddie Thorpe.
Eddie Thorpe. Okay.
I was having a hard time remembering the last name.
Why can't he have a name like Tatanka or something? I would remember that.
Yeah, if they could, Thorpe does not
I
necessarily
know they're doing.
scream.
I know it's Jim Thorpe. I know what they're doing, and yeah, I get it, but it's not what you.
Yeah,
It's not.
that's one where I'm like, man, if you're calling back to Jim Thorpe, like that's one of those Vince moments where it's just like, guys, that is not a current reference.
No, not at all.
Like the fact that we're the ones that identify with it is not great. So, yeah. Oh man. So yeah, though I think that wraps up
Yeah,
NXT.
it does wrap up NXT, yes.
Yeah, I'm for. I do like Fallon quite a bit. So, but yeah, they. Well, yeah, she's just gonna have to wait her time. AEW. Boy, they do love to throw out. I don't know why I was not expecting for Rouge and MJF to already have their match this week. I don't
Well, they
know.
announced it last week, but I did. I it was a we it was probably it was a really good match, probably
Yeah.
the highlight of the whole show. And MJF does win clean, and then I'm left scratching my head about why they rushed through Rouge so quickly, because up next for MJF at Forbidden Door is gonna be some CML guy whose name I don't remember, will probably never remember.
Hechicero, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's gonna be one right around the other before the end, before we're done here.
Yeah, for some reason, it was one of those random rampages that Daniel
Of
Bryan
course.
had like a 30-minute match with him. Yeah, well, it
This
was
time of
what.
year always brings this out, and it's worse than ever because New Japan, the New Japan guys are bringing nothing to the table, and they're just so cold right now. And AEW, of course, has signed, three of the biggest stars. New Japan had anyway to full-time contracts, and so it's these CMLL guys who just don't. There's a reason CMLL has kind of stuck to its own world. It stuck to its own world for like 100 years. And was never got to where like the worldwide the global acclaim that AAA has gotten during their hot periods. I just have I don't know who any of these people are, and they do nothing to make me know who these people are. I mean, now these are the people that might need like Don Callis in their lives for at least this period. Just somebody. Somebody better than Brian Cage, yeah, because we're still keeping him and his guys together, boys together, without Prince Nana. Yeah, that's working out really well.
Well, it's never going to do anyone favors when you keep on losing.
Well, no, and I don't. Not that I want to see Brian Cage ever beat anybody.
The fact I was about in tears by the end of the night that he somehow talked himself into a match with Will Ospreay.
Yes, Brian Cage in multiple segments on an episode of Dynamite. That's great. How about that? And okay,
Yeah.
I guess now since we're on the subject of how that all went down, we have Will Ospreay and MJF interacting for the very first time. When it doesn't feel like that's a match we're doing anytime soon.
Yeah, it was a really, to me, wild evening in that department in a lot of ways. Because Will Ospreay, feels like he's going to be the guy to take out Swerve to start with. And we're looking mostly at Daniel Bryan being in for Wembley
Brian
or
Danielson,
Bryan
come on now.
Danielson. Good Lord. I haven't made that mistake in a while. Yeah, so Danielson being the one to help headline. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, like, yeah. If I were Swerve, I would not be feeling great about how things have played out here the last couple of weeks.
No. You're being upstaged by Will Ospreay. You're being upstaged by MJF. MJF is clowning you on in his promos, and you don't really have much to respond back with. I mean, like I guess let's get into it. Will Ospreay basically out promo Swerve. I was shocked. Swerve had nothing. And then make some weird references to two people. I don't know who these people are. Makes a very like an inside reference only two people know.
It is one of those wild things where I know that they've over the years I've seen Swerve with famous I feel like rap stars or at least people are telling me that they are just because I don't really get all that involved with the rap. I'm not quite sure, but his mogulism always just seems so just it just seems fake. Like MJF's wealth could be completely fake, but he sells it.
Yeah.
With Swerve, I feel like there's some realism to what he's saying, but I just don't buy it.
That's fair, and he's, again, it's crazy how much aura he's lost since winning the world title.
Well, yeah, and it's also another. This week, or just this stuff with Will Ospreay in general, his, Swerve's trying to bring the evil side back out. And it's just like, well, you just switched to good guy Swerve, and now you're trying to switch back, and you're taunting Will Ospreay about his children.
Oh, those were children's names? I don't think Will Ospreay has kids.
I believe it was his wife and his son.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know anything about Will Ospreay's personal life.
I believe that's why Ospreay was so mad about the.
I guess that makes sense, exchange. But it also just doesn't really. They're doing what they can here with, because there's really no story to these two wrestling each other, and it's just, this Forbidden Door just has nothing going for it otherwise, so they had to kind of throw this match on there to sell it, and it's someone got the idea that it appears to me that someone got the idea that Ospreay should win the title earlier and go into Wembley Stadium with the champion instead of winning it at All In.
Oh.
Unless he does lose here and he ends up being the wild card later in the tournament. I guess it's possible that whoever loses this match ends up being the wild card. But maybe, it's just a really, I was shocked when they played this card heading into Forbidden Door. Because once again, Ospreay had just won that international title, and it just feels like him having that thing is just feels so pointless. It already felt pointless.
It
already felt like it was beneath him.
Yeah, I mean, I think we said that going into that pay-per-view, yes. And then it's even stranger now that not only his, well, A, he's going to defend it against Brian Cage, so I mean, do we need to say more about what level of competition he's facing for it? But then, yeah, he automatically goes after the AEW champion, almost immediately after winning it. And then he interacts with MJF, who, you can keep him away from the championship with personal stories for a while, but not for that long,
You really can't. I mean, you really can't question that he's the most over guy in the company. And Ospreay is probably, as much as I'm not the biggest fan, he's probably the second biggest star in biggest as far as at least as far as crowd reactions are concerned.
I mean, if you feel like making the argument for number one for him, I am fine with that, I suppose. But MJF does seem to help out a little bit more, in my opinion. So, again, to go back to the first topic I started with, not a great spot for Swerve to be in when all of this stuff happens on this very show. So, hey, good for Will Ospreay and MJF. MJF definitely stayed strong and got to win a very physical match. I guess the only thing for Will Ospreay that was somewhat interesting was that he said that he did not need the Don Callis family, which at least caused some problems for Trent Beretta. But boy, I do not want to see a Trent Beretta and Will Ospreay feud. Not necessary, thank you.
No, I know. And it just feels like we're digging in deeper and deeper with Don Callis. Like he's gonna keep adding to his family and just take up more and more TV time. And it does feel like if Will Ospreay is going to lose this match, it's going to be because Don Callis,
Oh.
or the family getting involved.
Yeah. That could very well happen. That part would not completely shock me.
Because you know what? As much as we're talking about Ospreay and being some type of a foregone conclusion that he'll be in the world title match at Wembley, and that Danielson's staked his claim as well, maybe they could keep the title on Swerve, or it could be Swerve versus Danielson,
Oh.
or the wild card turns out to be Hangman Adam Page.
Yeah, that gentleman has been gone for a while, and I guess I don't feel like I've heard any news about him.
I've heard no news. That it's a very strange situation with him. I know nothing about why he's missing from the equation.
Yeah, I'm a little bit lost on that too. Like, in this day and age, at some point, I feel like the news gets out, so it's pretty interesting that news hasn't gone one way or the other with him. Yeah, it is a possibility. We'll see. We don't have that much time between then and now. I mean, we definitely have, because when. I'm trying to think of when Ospreay and Swerve are gonna fight.
A
What's
week
the
from Sunday.
oh, okay, week from Sunday. Okay.
The 30th is that, yeah, that's 30th, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, I
They're definitely
guess
not getting me with this one.
it's yeah, because I'm trying to think of what other things were involved with the matchups themselves. I know something that Jeremy mentioned in the group chat, and I think I might be with him. Mark Briscoe promos fairly frequently. Thank you very much. Like.
Mark Briscoe is a lot of fun. Yes. AWTV is better with Mark Briscoe on
Yeah, he doesn't need to be
it.
high on the card, but that man is pure entertainment. So that is worth noting. I guess maybe the second biggest thing is always anything involving the EVPs these days. And we talked about it a little bit last week. The Acclaimed, though, officially this week, they're definitely heating them back up.
They are heating them back up, and I guess you needed to. I mean, they got the win over the Young Bucks in an eliminator match, so they are guaranteed a tag team championship match in the near future. You know what? Fine. But didn't last week Christopher Daniels also promise that Okada would have an eliminator match as well?
I thought so. I don't know if that's supposed to take place on
Well, now, well, no, now he's just defending the title, isn't he? On Collision against Ultimo Guerrero, who I know is something of a Lucha Libre legend, but again, I've never seen him wrestle a day in my life.
Yeah, that is the biggest problem sometimes with this. Unless you truly are a sicko, you probably don't know who these people are. And both of us, evidently not sickos. That and As noted before,
Oh,
it's
yes. Age 52.
Dear Lord. So
Yeah.
he's a young guy, is what you're telling me.
He's a young man. Yeah, yes.
Up and coming star. Oh boy. Okay. I mean, I guess I did like the Hechicero matches, to go back to him for a second, but I'm always a little bit questionable about what's his name there that everyone else loves that I don't from New Japan. Who's the really old guy? Minoru Suzuki.
How can you not love Minoru Suzuki? I don't get it. I don't get you, Ken. But yeah, no. He's another one who's he. That's the thing. This New Japan roster is just getting old. It's just they're just getting older. I mean, it's
Oh.
some of them maybe not be that old, but it's like the New Japan roster has not turned over enough. Well, it's over the last year or so, it's been turned over by force, and they really didn't have new people ready.
Well,
And then
yeah.
I know nothing about CMLL. CMLL is very. I know everything's on YouTube, so I'm sure I can find it, but I also don't really have an interest in finding it really.
Yeah, I guess I haven't tried to look for that. Again, I've done the AAA a little bit, but that has waned off, honestly, recently. 'Cause still the no subtitles killed me. Just give me some English subtitles and I'm good to go, guys. Like it's not a big ask.
I do, although I do love it when Jeremy Mays watches Lucha Libre and then complains about lucha style wrestling matches. What are you wa the, why are you fucking watching this?
Definitely something to be said about yeah, you should really be expecting lucha style matches if you're watching any lucha company. Like it kind of goes with the territory. Yeah. Oh man. I guess speaking of is there anything else to be said about the tag team stuff, I guess? 'Cause if not,
No,
I'm going to make
nothing. I mean, eventually we're gonna get Young Bucks versus the Acclaim for the titles, and I know this is crazy, but I'm pretty sure the Young Bucks are gonna win that one.
yeah, I would be pretty surprised if they did not win that one. So I guess speaking of Lucha, we definitely got another Lucha tribute between Mercedes Moné and Stephanie Vaquer, who is going to be her opponent for the upcoming Forbidden Door. Nope, don't like that transition. Not a good one.
It's fine. I mean, I'm just thinking about this again. I don't know anything about really. Don't really feel like I know anything about Stephanie Ricker, and they're not having her on TV even for this month. She has not wrestled on AEW TV, has she?
No, because I guess since you mentioned that, it did make me think that they have, in another way, pushed someone else, which is a little bit easier to pay attention to, since Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa have had quite a few interactions, which is,
Mina Shirakawa has been the highlight of this Forbidden Door buildup from a at least from an international talent perspective. Without a doubt, she is more over than anyone from New Japan at this point.
yeah. I mean, she's doing a great job, honestly, with the material that she's been given. And yeah, I mean, she really seems to lean into her gimmick. Oh
Oh
so
yeah.
yeah, that unlike that build up, yeah, the Shirakawa Tony Storm stuff, though it has been weird at moments, has been enjoyable as an overall whole. And this week's segment I
Yeah.
thought was a good one too.
Yeah, this was the segment was good. Obviously, I'm never gonna be too happy to see Saraya, but
Oh, I forgot about that.
but it makes sense, and in involving, and Anna Jay's been involved with this whole thing as well, having various matches with everyone involved basically, so
Yeah.
it just gives her something to do. Yeah, it gives these women, the other women, something to do. It furthers the storyline. Part of me almost wishes they had still had more time before for Forbidden Door, so they could do some more wacky stuff. Because
Oh.
now there's only one episode of Dynamite left.
Yeah, 'cause I mean, I just really don't feel like it's kind of interesting where it does feel like they're pushing the stories that they do have on Dynamite more than they are on Collision. You know, like Collision is definitely the you're just going to watch a bunch of wrestling matches here. They might have a couple of segments here and there, but for the most part, that is not the case. Or yeah, there is not a whole lot of talking. So, what other stuff? Oh, well, we are in Owen Hart Cup tournament match land here now, and I guess to stick with the ladies, Chris Statlander, not too surprisingly, ends up moving on against Nyla Rose, and she continues a feud. I don't have the brackets pulled up in front of me, but do her and Willow have a chance to meet in the semis?
I believe so. Yes. Yes.
So, you know, not
I'm.
surprising that that story is being continued through this
Yeah, that's gonna be. Yeah, that's an
tournament.
interesting semi. That's an interesting semis. Yeah, and there's no wild card in the women's bracket, correct?
I don't believe so.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm trying to looking at the names that they have. Yeah, I'm not seeing the perfect opponent for Toni Storm. I mean, you could go with Willow. You could have you or I guess you could go with it being Mariah May. And you've got some time to really set that up.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean they've done a pretty good job of at least making Mariah May interesting. Not sure that she's necessarily been portrayed the best, but she's out there.
Oh, update. Okada's match on Collision is an eliminator match. It's not for the title.
Oh, okay. Okie dokie. Yeah, so I guess the only other thing to talk about is the other Owen Hart Cup match, which was the one that ended the show here. Claudio Castagnoli taking on Pac in the men's bracket here. And you know, Pac ends up winning against Claudio, who
Yeah.
continues to not really have all that much of a push outside of you know, his little world championship run in ROH. So.
No. And we're definitely this is also definitely going somewhere. I mean, it was already seemed to be going somewhere when Danielson agreed to team with Eddie Kingston, but of course that all fell apart.
No.
So yes, the breakup of the Blackpool Combat Club cannot come soon enough for me. I guess you could maybe have. Oh, my mind's blanking. Wheeler Yuta
Oh.
go with Claudio. Anyway, they can be a tag team because let's be brutally honest. Claudio's a tag team guy through and through. He's at his best. It's just where he's at his best. Literally dating back to his earliest days in Ring of Honor. Or teaming with was Chris Hero. Like he's a he's a tag team guy. He's tried various creative teams have tried to make him a singles guy. It never really takes. Maybe the closest was that Ring of Honor run in the feud with Eddie Kingston.
Oh, yeah.
But otherwise, it just doesn't take very well. And he's just getting older every day. So it's just not happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're beyond, like, almost when he moved to AEW, we were beyond those days. But now that they haven't even appointed him to a higher status than he was in WWE, and he's now been there 2 or 3 years. Not looking that one up, don't really care that much, but he's had enough time there that if he was going to make it to the top of their ladder, that he would be closer than he is currently. So yep, was not but yeah, him and Bryan Danielson end up having at least a little bit of a terse exchange at the end of the match. So yeah, it looks like they're needing to get to this breakup in a different avenue because of Eddie Kingston's
Yeah, and all of these guys, Danielson and Moxley do not need to be in a group. They don't even need to be in a group with a team with each other. Danielson's got months remaining in his full-time career, quote unquote. I mean, not that wrestling no more than once a week is should even I'm not sure that even should be considered a full-time career, but him no longer being on AEW shows weekly, obviously that will be a change, and he doesn't need to spend it with these guys. And Moxley, he's a natural loner anyway, character anyway, other than I mean, other than since the Shield breakup.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's kind of almost made it known within his character that he's a loner. It's just like, well, why is he in this four-person group then? Like, that's so weird.
Yeah, the whole once again, I've said it 100 times on here. I don't like the entire aesthetic, so to speak, of the Blackpool Combat Club. I just and Moxley did it again on. Well, we'll go back to Collision last week. We didn't bring it up last time. Just cutting this promo out Naito about ending his career and breaking like. What is this escalation? You had one match that you won clean in the middle of the ring. Why are you speaking like this?
He's
Why this guy doesn't that
gonna put him in the grave.
like what like that is the whole thing. That is why I hate the Blackpool Combat Club. If it just feels like a bunch of guys talking tough, like real tough, not even just like wrestling tough. It just that type of thing of like guys who like. Take a jiu-jitsu class like every other week, and they think they can beat anybody. I just can't like fake MMA guys. Like I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, that gentleman does seem to participate in jiu-jitsu events, but also, yeah, like it's a weird thing. Like I always think it's weird to say that you're gonna kill someone. Like it's just like I've been watching wrestling for more than a year, guys. I'm not falling for this. Like I don't think the kids are falling for this either. So, kind of a weird, to me, always a weird topic to bring up in any wrestling promo. So, BCC can go away, and I will not have a problem with that either. Anything else to talk about before I talk beer, sir?
Nope. Go ahead.
Because our good buddy in Charlotte couldn't be here, I picked up one of the beers he may or may not have sent my way. It's Lower Left Brewing Pulp Up the Volume Milkshake IPA. They use a New England IPA infused with fresh orange, Madagascar vanilla, and lactose to accent the Citra, Mandarina, Bavaria, and Amarillo hops. So, I love milkshake IPAs. This one is right up my alley. Has a little bit of sweetness because of the milk sugar, and still has some nice hoppy notes to it in the background there, which is more of what I enjoy out of a nice IPA here. And like the oranginess, I always like citrus even more in the summer. So, having an orange flavored beverage right now is kind of hits the spot there. Like I really do like citrus in the summer. So, more mixed drinks for myself occasionally in the summer too. So, that is the hashtag Belltime Beer of the show here from at DeFrango11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any other locations like Spotify, iHeartRadio, or YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.